This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good morning. Closing prices for the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn, $3.74 and a quarter, up 4.5. May, $3.80 and a quarter, up 5. July, $3.85 and three quarters, up 5 and a quarter. January soybeans, $8.77, up 14.5. March, $8.77 and three quarters, up 14.5. May, $8.83 and a half, up 14.5. March wheat, $4.84, up a half. May, $4.91, up 1. July, $4.97 and a quarter, up 1 and three quarters. March oats, $2.28 and a quarter, up 5 and a quarter. May, $2.30 and a half, up 6 and three quarters. January soybean meal, $2.75.90, up $6. March, $2.77.60, up $5.80. May, $2.80, up $5.80. January soybean oil, $30.07, down 30. March, $30.31, down 29. May, $30.53, down 27. It's time now for the Cash Grain Report.
This is Thursday's report of grain prices and trends prepared by the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher late Thursday afternoon. Higher corn and wheat prices were fueled by the rally in the soybean market. The soybean rally was supported by technical buying at the Board of Trade, a purchase of 15.6 million bushels of U.S. soybeans by China, and a dry weather forecast for parts of the South American soybean crop. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn mostly 4 cents stronger at $3.46 to $3.61. Soybeans were up 14 to 15 cents at $8.42 to $8.71. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn 3 to 4 cents higher at $3.55 to $3.75. Soybeans are 11 to 14 cents stronger at $8.56 to $8.85. In the southern part of the state, Elevators and Mills reported shell corn 4 cents higher at $3.65 to $3.87. Soybeans were up 14 cents at $8.67 to $8.84. Wheat closed unchanged to a penny higher at $3.84 to $4.29. Illinois soybean processor cash bids were up 14 to 15 cents at $8.82 to $8.96. Basis levels were unchanged to one lower at 5 to 19 over the January. High-protein soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $267.90 to $285.90 per ton. That's up $6 per ton, with basis level steady at a minus 8 to a plus 10 over January. Illinois corn processor cash bids were 5 cents higher at $3.74 to $3.79. Basis levels were unchanged at option to 17 over the March. Illinois River barge loading elevators placed their producer corn market 1 to 5 cents higher at $3.71 to $3.78, with basis levels down 3 to unchanged at a minus 3 to 4 over the March. Soybeans closed 12 to 15 cents stronger at $8.84 to $8.92. Basis levels were unchanged to down 2 at a plus 7 to plus 15 the January option. New crop wheat prices were up 1 to 2 cents at $4.22 to $4.72. Basis levels were unchanged at minus 25 to a minus 75 in July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn market 1 cent higher at $3.88 to $3.89. These elevators raised their soybean bids 14 cents at $9.08 to $9.09. Soft wheat was unchanged at $4.09 to $4.59. Milo closed 4 to 9 cents higher at $3.59 to $3.64. Contract bids producers for January delivery grain in northern and western Illinois. January shell corn contracts range from $3.49 to $3.61. January delivery soybean contracts range $8.47 to $8.68. In central Illinois, January delivery shell corn contracts were quoted at $3.57 up to $3.77. January delivery soybean contracts range from $8.56 to $8.80. In the southern part of the state, January delivery shell corn contracts were quoted at $3.65 to $3.87. January delivery soybean contracts range $8.65 up to $8.84. And June-July delivery soft wheat contracts in the southern part of the state range from $4.47 to $4.72. That concludes Thursday's country grain market summary.
Closing prices for the Mercantile Exchange. December live cattle, 118.27, down 170. February, 123.40, down 157. April, 124.87, down 117. January feeder cattle, 144.20, down 350. March, 143.40, down 270. April, 144.40, down 247. February lean hogs, 55.90, down $2. April, 61.55, down 217. May, 70.62, down 130. It's time now for the Cash Livestock Report.
This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday the 17th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 47 cents lower in the range of 45 to 50, with the weighted average carcass price of $48.66. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows are trading steady with weak demand for moderate to heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 7 to 13, 4 to 5 weights 12 to 15, 5 to 6 weights 13 to 16, and 6 weights and up 14 to 18. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading a dollar lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $25 to $31. Receipts for Illinois hogs today, 9,288 head. And now for the report from the Schuyler Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 230 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 105.50 to 118.50, and choice slaughter heifers 114.50 to 117.50. Now over to real livestock. They had receipts of 280 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 113 to 118.50. Choice slaughter heifers were 113.25 to 118.50. Their slaughter cows premiums were 100 to 103. Breakers were 59 to 69. And some higher dressing were 70.50 to 78.50. Boners were 57 to 65, with a higher dressing 66 to 73. Leans were 39 to 47, with the higher dressing at 50 to 57. Now, from the National Daily Hog Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 302 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass, $73.24, and that was 2 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses, $195.76, that was $1.14 lower, with select carcasses at $185.54, that was 63 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 114,000, that compared to 112,000 last week and 113,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 439,000, that compared to 438,000 last week and 432,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
The USDA's National Ag Statistics Service is contacting farmers from now through February as part of a national survey of conservation practices. During the first phase of the National Resources Inventory Conservation Effects Assessment Project, the National Ag Statistics Service contacted approximately 800 farmers in Illinois to determine if their operations and properties were eligible to participate in the survey. In the second phase, producers are asked to provide details on the conservation practices they are currently using. Phase 2 will continue until February of 2016. According to Illinois State Statistician Mark Schlusner, Illinois producers are using a wide variety of conservation practices, including reduced tillage techniques, cover crops, grassed waterways, filter strips, and buffers. Data obtained from the project may help NRCS conservationists and partners determine the efficiency and effectiveness of current conservation techniques and help to identify best management practices. Industry experts say the tax-free treatment of the spinoffs is one of the driving factors in the DowDuPont merger. Reuters reports typically companies that have been through a change of control are liable to pay capital gains taxes on subsequent spinoffs. If both companies, however, do not formally undergo a change of control, the spinoffs can be tax-free. Following the merger, Dow and DuPont expect to create three publicly traded businesses. As I've mentioned before, they will focus on agriculture, materials, and specialty products. Meanwhile, the Alliance of Critical Syngenta Shareholders expressed concern with Syngenta's current board amidst the merger talks in the market. The shareholders said with that combined company executing its own integrated strategy, Syngenta must quickly find a path that allows it to compete. The group urged the company to engage in meaningful dialogue with all interested suitors. Next, we'll visit with Julie Blunier. Julie is the Ag Literacy Lead for the Illinois Soybean Association, and we had a conversation about their Pod to Plate program.
I'm fortunate enough to consult with the Illinois Soybean Association on their ag literacy materials. This is an opportunity for us as an association to put out resources for classroom teachers, the students, the general consumer, to learn more about soybeans, specifically the industry here in the state of Illinois, all the way from in the field and those soybeans in the pod, and then all the way to where they end up on your plate or as a usable good. So Pod to Plate is our program and the way we promote those materials, and we have those based on our podtoplate.org website.
What are some of the features of the Pod to Plate program? Are there different educational materials that you use for students, or kind of explain how the program works?
We really do have resources all the way from kindergarten up through high school classrooms. We really do focus on those teachers that are in the general education classroom, not necessarily an agriculture classroom, but that can use agriculture topics to learn more about plant sciences or mechanics, even into some, you know, hands-on math problems that they can really use real-life situations that happen in the agriculture industry and fulfill some of those standards that they need to touch on within their classroom. Agriculture gives us a great way to do that. So we've got a number of resources. One of the most popular on the website right now is a virtual field trip through a series of videos. We start in the field with the farmer. We talk about how a planter works and how those soybeans grow, fertilizer and pesticides that the farmer may have to use to help them grow, and then on to harvest. From there, we go on to a processing plant where they can see those beans being broken down into oils, into soybean meal. We take a trip to a feed mill where they're being mixed into rations specified by the farmer's needs, and then even onto a hog farm where they're using that soybean meal to feed in a livestock situation. So a great way. It's hard sometimes for students or teachers to get their students out onto a farm and see it firsthand, or even consumers to make a connection and be able to see what's going on today's farms. This is a great opportunity to sit and learn and kind of follow along from that pod all the way to the plate at the end product.
Is this Pod to Plate program something that's been in place for a while now? Is it a new program?
It actually has, in some capacity, been in the works for about 6 years now. The website continues to grow. We continue to add in new resources that we're missing. Our focus for next year, coming out in 2016, is a book, a early reader picture book focused on the kindergarten to third grade level. We really are missing a soybean book that gives real-life pictures of machinery and of what a farm looks like today, what a farmer looks like today. And we'll take those younger readers along that path to learn more about soybeans and end up with products that they use every day that they may not know soybeans are even a part of. So we continue to add as we see the need, or as we talk to teachers in summer workshops, what needs they need fulfilled, we add to it, and it continues to grow.
Well, it sounds like that is going to be a great addition to the program, something that was done in the past, and you mentioned that you might be hoping to do this more in the future, is that you had something called the soy cam that actually allowed some farmers to take pictures of their operations.
We did. For quite a few years, we had a program with farmers around the state. It gave them an opportunity to photo journal their growing season and to post pictures and be able to kind of show what happens week by week as those soybeans grow. We've kind of taken a break on that. We've got all of those photos archived on the Pod to Plate website. So you can go back. It's really neat to compare year to year what one farmer is doing, some of the challenges they may have run into, whether it be flooding or drought or pests. It's a great photo journal to follow along with the farmers. So we're going to take a break for right now. Hopefully, in a couple years, we may find a group of farmers that really wants to jump back on with us and kind of bring the program back to life.
One thing I did notice, I visited the website before we had a chance to talk, and I noticed that one of the farmers was actually from Greene County, which is part of our listening area.
Wonderful. Yeah, we've got farmers all around the state. I work with some mid-level science teachers. They love to compare and contrast with that archive what's happening in southern Illinois, what's happening in northern Illinois, what happens in central Illinois, and see, you know, we've got some very different conditions north to south in this state. So it's very interesting for their students to take a look at what's happening in different parts of the state with those soybean fields. So it's great that we have farmers from all over to be able to provide that experience.
Julie, is there anything that we haven't covered already about the Pod to Plate program or Illinois Soybean Association that you might like to mention?
Yeah, you know, we have that Pod to Plate website. It's wonderful for teachers to access. It's wonderful for students. It's also a great resource for soybean farmers. If you happen to have the opportunity where a local teacher asks you to come in and talk to the classroom about what you do or present at maybe an Ag Day, Expo, say, it's a great resource for those farmers to grab a hold of some statistics, some facts, some end product uses they may not even know of to grab a hold of. So we really think it's a great outreach for a wide spectrum of people in our area to learn more about the soybean industry, and which in the end, you know, promotes the industry and leads to growth as well.
Once again, Julie Blunier, Ag Literacy Lead for the Illinois Soybean Association. That's all for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.